Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey everyone, Red Men Originals podcast time. What are we throwing up, gang signs? Is that what we're doing?
Do you not see it every single time?
Become a thing, man, sorry.
No gang signs, come on. Blood or Crip, anyone? No, that doesn't matter. It's fine. I'm Paul Machin, Steve Hall, Chloe Blocks and Dan Club in the studio for this one. The season is over. Rejoice, not because we were good, but because it's over.
Remember that saying, was it, don't be sad it's over, just be glad it happened?
Yeah.
No.
The opposite of that.
I'm not glad it happened. And
does
I'm
not apply here.
Made up, it's finished.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
Yeah, it's true. Liverpool drew 4-4 with Southampton to end the season. And yeah, it was a thriller, ultimately. Chloe, your face tells a whole story.
Ottawa and didn't give a shit.
Really?
We didn't care. We were happy. Like when we went 2-0 up, but truth be told, our end missed at least two goals. The Jota one and then the Cozy Gakpo one. It was some really good play, but everyone just felt a little bit resigned. Like when that ball went in, and I think it made a 4-3, everyone was like, oh yeah, it's a good goal, by the way. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, but like we're one goal behind, we can go again. It felt very much like before the game on the concourse, it was going off. And at half time, it also was going off. Everyone went down instantly. And it felt like very much the game took a back seat. But it was just a lovely day in the sun.
That's a big away, that, in terms of the journey. I wonder whether European rules almost apply on that. Is that you've got to go so far and you drink so much that, like, typically European aways die on their arse atmosphere wise after, like, between half an hour and the end of half time. Normally in Europeans, because you can't buy any ale inside the ground, so like you stock up, get bladdered, and then your hangover kicks in by the time the second half kicks off. But I thought it was interesting. I don't know, obviously Dan, you were in the studio with us, I'll come to you in a sec, but Steve, what were your general feelings actually watching the game?
I didn't watch it live. I watched it this morning on replay. I was watching Everton trying to get them relegated.
Well, that was the next question. How many people here, in all honesty, were more asked about Everton's result?
I had Liverpool, I had their goal alert on my phone for the Reds. I was focused on the relegation. But I watched Liverpool, I was drunk as well. I watched Liverpool this morning, 90 minutes, because I'd done the final word show. I remember I said on Thursday Night Pints, and I know you guys were a little bit disagreeing with me, I weren't bothered at all. It was the time.
You wanted Arthur Mello's tricky Reds.
That was the only thing I was missing from that game, was Arthur not getting on. But yeah, listen, it was, I haven't watched it back. I said on the final, I don't want to talk too much, but like, it shows you how good Premier League footy players are mentality wise. Because when they drop off 10%, that's what you get, an absolute shambles from both teams. Like you get Lavia setting Jota up on the edge of the box. You get a lad running from the halfway line through to score without anyone trying to tackle him. I think it just shows you the edge that these lads play on, and that when there isn't 3 points on the line, really, you know, like per se, something that matters. Just even that slight little bit of something from both teams, and you get what is essentially an exhibition match in the sun. And that's why it was easy for the away fans to switch off and be all Bobby and Milner happy, because that's what it should have been. But the point is, isn't it, Paul? We want to get to next year where that isn't a thing anymore. If your last game of the season is an odd event, make it like Man City's one there, where they just who gives a toss? They've won the league already. That's what you want. It was I kind of microcosm of the season. It sums the season up well.
Yeah,
in general,
we just haven't had this under Klopp, Dan. It's been so long, and I can appreciate that. You know, that's 7 years, 8 years. You know what I mean? Every last game of the season
in a final,
counting for something. Having a meaning, even like in the Premier League. You know, like still always going for something on the final day. You're either going for the title or you're going for top four or whatever. But the idea of it being Nottingham is such an alien concept. And again, there'll be people to the point. There's 18-year-olds, 19, 20-year-olds. You know, Chloe, you were a kid the last time Liverpool had a game at the end of a season that didn't matter. There'd be tons of people watching that, Danny, who had no concept of how to feel about it.
Yeah, there will. It was amazing how quickly I remembered what those games were like, actually, because you're right, to the point, like, I remember all my childhood having games like that just meant nothing on the final of the season. Like, it was commonplace, you know what I mean? So I went into it with a very familiar feeling, even though I haven't had it for 7 years, essentially under Jurgen Klopp. I very quickly remembered, oh yeah, this, yeah, yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's a bit of an end of season party for the fans, go and enjoy themselves in the sun, might see some new players, might see some different formations, whatever. Let's just experiment a little bit and it doesn't really matter. But you're right, it was alien, and Jurgen Klopp will be desperate to make it alien again, I would imagine. He won't want that next season. Hopefully, like you say, he'd want things all tied up in a nice little bow by the time that comes around. But I would much rather, and I'd much prefer being involved in these do or die, everything to play for games. Like yesterday, as a one-off, fine, you know, quite nice to be relaxed on the final day of the season, given the stress-inducing heart attack football matches we have had on the final days. But give me them over that yesterday every time.
I'm right in saying, since 15-16, it's either there's been...
It's top four or something.
Well, you're the first one's Europa League finals, three Champions League finals, two top four races, title races going down to the end of the season a couple of times. Well, it has been... You know, we've had, even in like the first Europa campaign, the last game of the season in the league was a nothing, but we still had the Europa League finals to come from. It was strange that at the end of the season was just I was trying to find a way to watch the game in the UK, which obviously is legal, of course. And like, even trying to find, like, it was like channel number 12 or something, Liverpool. Like, no one, like, the Zed commentary team that no one knew who he was. Like, that's not like a thing usually for us. We're usually the star attraction, you know, like, it's the way it's worked out. It's been quite.
It wasn't even a human interest piece. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't even worthy of notes, you know.
The only thing that made it essentially noteworthy, even in sort of the media today, is the fact that Bobby Firmino played his final game in James Milne. That's the only real sort of, and the fact Firmino scores obviously aids that as well, but that's the only thing, like this morning, for instance, sort of on the radio or whatever, you kind of hear, oh, and Liverpool played and Bobby Firmino sent off for his final goal. That's it. Yeah. Outside of that, it didn't matter.
Yeah. And I suppose ultimately the score adds to it. I don't know, it's weird. I quite enjoyed the open. You know, I was quietly surprised when we went 2 goals up because I wasn't really thinking about it, you know what I mean? It was just a bit of a non-entity. We had the Everton game on simultaneously. When it went 4-2 down, I was just laughing at how ludicrous the whole thing was. But then after that, when Liverpool just went, right, fuck it, we're going for this, I got really into it. I really enjoyed myself. I found it really exciting. You know, there was something to say. All of a sudden, I wanted it more than I cared to think about at any point prior to that. And I liked the fact, that was the one thing about it, Chloe, that it goes back to Steve's point on mentality. Stoke, last game of the season, you know, 2015 under Rodgers, and Liverpool just give it up. There's nothing to be played for. Everything's bad. Everything's sad. Stoke absolutely walk away with it and everyone's just going, oh my God, what are we doing? Like, that game could have been that. Like, Southampton could have actually totally run away with it. Then a 4-2, they technically have. I thought it was a mild note of encouragement that Liverpool did just decide to actually turn it round and show up, because it ended up being the last 20 minutes was actually quite enjoyable.
Yeah, it was weird because you came out the game and Liverpool should have won that. We had so many chances in the last 15 minutes where, I mean, Salah hits the post with an outrageous little chip type thing.
You know, from the away end, it looks like he didn't mean it.
He didn't mean it. I mean, from our end, it looked a bit like...
I mean, that's one of the worst touches ever I've ever seen. That's up there with Momo Sissoko. He's not trying to, at least in
Mate,
two minds.
That's an absolute shank.
Go on.
But either way, there was he had loads of chances where he'd cut in on his left. He should have just set Cody Gakpo, who had an open goal. The decision making was wrong. But you saw the desire, and if I can get that desire in a Nottingham game with 10 minutes to go, and it was very much, look, us and Southampton fans were having a laugh with each other. They were singing 4-2 to the championship, and like we were clapping them and laughing. And it felt like Liverpool had just turned around and said, we're not being embarrassed here. We're going to have to do something. And the big boys did step up. I think some of the changes really helped. I thought Harvey Elliott was exceptional when he came on that pitch. Yeah. And maybe people couldn't see it from on the TV because you don't get to see what he does. But the little reverse passes to Salah and Trent down the right were really good from him. He had a couple of wild shots where you were like, no, okay, let's get a couple more years.
Everyone had one of them, didn't they? Gomez had one.
Jesus Christ. That's a Lovren, Southampton, London Blazer. Yeah, they were trying too hard, which was what Salah was doing at times. But I enjoyed it because it felt like there was something to play for. And it kept all our ends, you know, really on edge, not because we needed the 3 points, but just because you like to finish off in a decent style. And yeah, there was some alright performances. I thought Cody Gakpo was decent when he came on. But Liverpool didn't have the final piece of the jigsaw in the last 10, which they should have. But yeah, it was absolute mental rollercoaster of a game. But we were in the sun. We got to say goodbye to Milner and Firmino. Yeah, and it was a decent day.
I think if Mo Salah wasn't chasing 20 Premier League goals, we might have won that game.
We'd have scored, yeah.
He was desperate to get that goal. The one where he doesn't pass it to Gakpo was like, oh, mate. I'd like to think if that was like top four was on the line, he just rolled that to Cody Gakpo.
Yeah. But he's trying. Are you sure?
Given how he tweeted the other day, I think probably. But he could tell he was desperate for that goal. It was almost a Liverpool's hindrance a little bit. But fair play to him, like he wants the 20 again. But it was just like it was mad in that. At 2-0, it looked like we could win 7.
Yeah.
At 4-2, I thought that we could get beat 7. And then again, we probably should have won by, like, we should have scored like 4 more goals. Mm-hmm. It was two teams. It was just like, the mentality was like to, I don't know, switch within the game both times. It was like Southampton realised, we're going to get absolutely embarrassed here. And then Liverpool felt the same, you know, when it went 2-0 the other way, either side. So that's what it kind of, it felt like both of them needed like a bit of a rev.
When you said season in microcosm, it was every problem that Liverpool have had all season long, we had since spades in that game. But the things that we've managed to reboot and get right worked really well at the same time as well. Go on, Colin.
If there's something that stadiums need to get better, it is some form of signal inside the ground. Because I remember last year when someone celebrated 3-2 thinking Aston Villa had gone up, and it sent like Anfield a bit mad, and it wasn't the case. And you feel like in moments where your neighbours could potentially go down or you're going for a title, I feel like we didn't get the, like when Leicester and that scored, half of our end didn't even know. No one celebrated because no one had a clue what was going on. And it's just, it makes you bounce. It makes you more happy. And I feel like, especially when it took me back to that Aston Villa where, like, I genuinely, there was everyone who thought Aston Villa had made it 3-2 and they just hadn't. Someone had just started something and for no reason. So I'd really like, in case we are in, you know, a title race next season or a top four race, or the Ev potentially going down again, please could you just sort some signal out, because I couldn't get anything.
You'll have too much signal sometimes because we were getting scores ahead of, because we were on a delay, because we were watching on a stream. Yeah. We were stuck in the, is this going to happen or is it not? At least two of the goals got spoiled by Sky and their updates. It was good. Yeah, good stuff.
When you go to the NFL games, do you have to go to the scores going around the stadium? Premier League don't like
Do you like that though? Because I Chloe's point, back in the old days, people used to say like radios, didn't they, and have them by the rear. Like, I quite like.
There was a lad on the left, there was a Leicester fan who kept that. Showing with a radio.
The big one as well, wasn't
it? Yeah, it wasn't the smallest.
The wireless. The radio was called the wireless, that. I mean, Anna Grandad used to have.
The thing was, at half time, I think Leicester were winning, but Everton were drawing.
Yeah.
And our end had just cleared out because no one knew what the score was. So everyone just went to bounce downstairs. And when the scores, like, because they announced the scores at half time, you got a little way, but that was it, because all of us had got off because no one had a clue what was going on, because no one could get any updates.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you're there to support the Reds, but in the top four race, title race, I need to know what the other score is, because it's not just reliant on you, it's reliant on them as well. But yeah, that's my agony rant, which isn't for this show, but I've done it now.
Yeah, fine, absolutely fine. You can have that. Yeah, I thought there were things. I think there were decent things to take away. We'll talk about that in a second. We've got a super chat from Jacob Waddell in the meantime. Says, cheers, guys. It made the season more tolerable. Onwards and upwards. We got loads of these on the watch along, which I'm really made up for. And everyone who watched me and Chris and our descent into madness on the final day, much appreciated and all that. But yeah, I'm glad to see that we've managed to somehow help people remain on some form of even keel over the last
the
9 months.
The coach home was really popping off. We had karaoke.
Sorry, it was popping off.
Popping off?
It was.
Yeah, I know.
We had people...
Did it make your toe to motion?
No, not quite. We had people doing karaoke. I'm not going to say it was great, but it, you
did
know.
You did you do it?
No.
Yeah. I love the way you do this. Like, no, when you've got, the, what, like,
you sing all the time.
You've got the second voice. Best voice in the office and you wouldn't even sing.
Who's got the best, Joe?
No. No, it is.
Oh, there we go. No, it was good for Sain, to be fair, especially when there was nothing to play for and they have stayed up. So, yeah, the fair play to all of us. You'd travelled 5 hours to get to Southampton, drawn 4-4, and then decided to sing all the way home.
Yeah,
we're in a good place, aren't we?
Yeah. I thought it was great for Bobby, we kind of talked about it, to get that one more goal. So I'm up to 16th in the all-time Liverpool top goal scorers list, which is pretty amazing when you can consider it. I think that's 111. He's just behind. He ended up like 6 or 7 behind Ian St. John in, I think, they had less games as well, which is pretty impressive. But, yeah, good for him. And Milner, Steve had the most James Milner game of all time. He come in, he booted people, he ran all over the place, he finished the game at left back.
He looked red.
It was, yeah.
There's a man who'd caught him. I mean, I worry about him going down to Brighton if he reacts. That's one day in the South Coast sun.
Yeah.
And he looked like me on holiday. Like, he was like a lobster at the end of it. But yeah, he did. It was totally Milner.
He played the hits.
He did. He just wheeled them all out, including the shy wave. Like, I don't want the centre of attention. Yeah.
Mm. He was like, if he was doing a set at Glastonbury, that's what it would look like.
To be fair, I saw Roberto Firmino a little bit.
Yeah.
His goal was the hits. Just sitting lads down for a laugh and then reeling away. Losing one on the halfway line. Mm-hmm. It's been a little bit Bobby recently, that, hasn't it, as well? The more recent Bobby than old Bobby. But yeah, it was nice. I was glad Jürgen started them because there was some talk like, well, you know, they don't want to get injured and they don't want to, you know, but like, fair play, he wanted to and they both wanted to play as well. Obviously Milner stays on in the end, doesn't he, I think, all the way, and obviously when Bobby went off, but it was I thought it was really fitting that James Milner played 5 positions or something on his last game. He was everywhere in midfield, DM, he was left back for a little bit, a little goal wing, yeah, it was class. Might explain why we drew 4-4 all as well a little bit, like it was so strange in that, like, the I have to be careful because, like, it's so hard to be dropped into a footy game. But the lads who were like given a chance to impress, you think they're you'd think they're the ones who'd really step up, and you'd think the likes of Gakpo and Salah would be arsed. Mm. But it kind of felt the other way. It was the lads who came in, they look like they haven't played for ages, they haven't. And I mean, if we're trying to sell Keith Keller, we might have knocked a couple of pounds off his price tag. Joe Gomez maybe the same. There's a couple of lads who you'd think would have been desperate to go into the summer, haven't impressed, and it just didn't quite happen for them.
Well, that was my next question, is obviously from the team selection. There's a couple there that we were speculating is, you know, is their chance to play for their place and what have you. But the other side of it is, cause, so like Keller has a good example of this. Jürgen Klopp came out in the press conference of the week and said it'd take a huge offer for us to consider it. By all accounts, Keller wants to move on. He wants to go and progress his career, which is, I think, is understandable at this point. And he immediately went, well, this is a bit of like a thank you or a nod to him and say, go on, mate, here's your game. You're going to get more game time next season with the Europa League team now. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see more of you. But is there a flip side, Dan, where actually for him, for Matip Gomez, Tsimikas, there's a bit of shop window about it? I'm not saying any of them actually, as Steve points out, really increased the value.
No.
Certainly their visibility, for good or for ill. But there could certainly have been a little bit of that edge to it.
Yeah, there was. I think there definitely was. They might be on the sales rack now, some of them behind the shop window a little bit, because it wasn't impressive from those lads especially. I think I give Tsimikas especially a little bit of grace, and you're right to the point about they've kind of been dropped into a match, very rusty. They haven't played a lot of first team football for a long time. And Tsimikas especially, like I say, because he was sort of very much out of position. Like that role, the sort of the left-sided centre-back, which Andy Robertson's done okay at, does not suit Tsimikas at all. We now know that. We've seen that. But yeah, there was a chance there for those lads to either play for a place in the squad moving forwards, or like you say, sort of play for a move, and none of them really covered themselves in glory for either of those conversations, so it was an interesting one. I was really surprised by Gomez and Matip's positioning. Mm-hmm. Actually, you spoke about it in the build-up show, and you thought Gomez might be the central one and Matip on the right. I don't understand it And that might be a nod towards what we're going to do next season, potentially. But maybe Matip will move on, and that's why we might go and sign one to replace him there. But I didn't understand that at all, because it doesn't suit their attributes in the slightest to me. And that's how it borne out in the game as well. We were, defensively, we were, you said it was a microcosm of the season, we were shambles at times defensively. Like, it was so easy for Adam Armstrong, so easy for that Colomini, just ran at us, just carried the ball for like 30 yards, just ran at us forever. And it's like, someone going to go and deal with that lad there? No, he's going to let him run. So, yeah, it was pretty shambolic, pretty much from the back, new back four, I'd say. Matip, Gomez, Tsimikas and Keller, all of them who are either fighting for a place in Klopp's plans or maybe a move. Not one of them really did it yesterday.
I said that might be the season if we never had Alisson.
Yeah.
I think Alisson saves probably all of them, definitely three of them. But that's the difference. And I think Keller's a good goalie.
He is, no, he is.
But I think Alisson's a great goalie, and we've needed great goalies. And like I say, I always say Alisson saves the ones I don't think he should always save. Kelleher, he let one in that he should have saved, but the other ones are ones where you can't really blame him per se. But I think Alisson would have saved that.
The thing is, I get your point, but I also think it sounds stupid to say because he let them in. But I think Callaghan saves all of them as well. Mm. You know, I think there's another day where... Yeah, exactly what I mean. I think there's just another day.
He has a bad day, kind of thing.
Yeah, I just think he has a bad day at the office, and you don't know what that is. And again, is that... that's a bit of ring rust, you know.
We haven't played since January. Yeah,
well, that, you know. And it's not like he plays for the under-23s or whatever. He just turned up to training. The only other thing
with that is, I'm sort of making excuses for the back three, not including Trent, because it's a positional change as well. They're not used to it. They've always played a 4-3-3 for Liverpool. They're coming in, things are slightly different. The flip side of that with Keller is saving shots. Yes. Isn't it? Essentially, he should have been better.
The second one's the worst of them.
Yeah.
The second one's really bad.
It's weak. It's really weak.
Yeah, and that's the thing where sometimes, like, it's all well and good putting players in shop windows. Sometimes it's better not to. Like, the reason Liverpool celebrate Ian Brewster is because it was the best hype job anyone's ever done. Yeah. Oh, we've got this lad, he's the new Firmino, bang and go. I never played. Sold him, and it turned out it was a bit of a fool's goal for Sheffield United. Mm. That's the worry with Keller now, is that I don't think anyone should judge a player on one game, whether you're buying or selling. But if you are looking at...
But I will, for the purpose of this point.
No, I'm not. But if you're a team who's going to buy him,
I'm not going to put 30 million on the table. I said it yesterday.
You'd be like, oh, wait, what's that? You would, because a lot of the time when Keller's played for Liverpool, we've been boss. So he hasn't had to be like, you know, I understand there's been League Cup games, but like, he's let quite a few goals in them, you know what I mean? Like fives and stuff. But it was like, it's different when you see him behind what is a bottom half of Premier League defence. Like that, Gomez, Matip, Tsimikas could be any bottom 10 defence. And that's what Southampton can do to them. So what's your goalie going to do? Ah, okay. He hasn't got, well, is that what it looks like when he hasn't got Van Dijk and he hasn't got Fabinho and Henderson and shielding him? You know what I mean? Maybe it is that. And that was my thing. Coming away from it, I was like, if you're Brentford now, you'd have a little, hang on a minute, you know what I mean? You might have a second thought about it.
Just on the Keller thing as well, what's that do for him personally? Because he has aspirations of going and playing first-team football somewhere. Of course he does. Now, you're right, he might sort of take yesterday in isolation, just go, yeah, whatever, move on one game. But during his Liverpool career, even though he has conceded goals, it's always been a positive. He's come in and won trophies for us, the Carabao Cup, for instance. He's played a part in the penalty shootout. It's always been an upward trajectory. The mood music around him has always been positive. We've always waxed Liverpool about him. Everyone's always been boss. All of a sudden, yesterday, he does that. Does he sort of reassess his own situation and go, okay, maybe I do need to stick around and develop and play Europa League, etc., etc.?
Or the other way around, I need to go and play. I can't sit on a bench on January,
do that.
Get thrown in, and I need to go and play, because if you go to a lower league team, if you play every week, you can afford to have one stinker, because you need to make, there's probably like five saves in a season that can keep a team up. You know, or is the difference between going down and keeping. And I think Keller's more than good enough. But I also think it goes to show, and I think we've got a lot of these players, and I think moving on to Gomez, he's this for me, is that he feels poor. Like, this is the problem with when we got knocked out the Cups too early, and everyone moans about League Cup runs and like the Europa League next season. That's the value of them, is that these lads get game. These lads will get game time. The reason we all think Keller is good, he's played 20 games for us, but a lot of them have been cup games. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because Liverpool were crap in the start of the season, he's been a victim of that. Yeah. He hasn't been able to play.
Well, just back to your point on Kelleher, it's like the reverse fruit machine effect. If you go and put a pound in and you don't win, you walk away and go, oh, I've just wasted a pound. But it's the whole 25% average payout thing, is that you've actually got to you've got to play it in order to actually get to your percentage chance. You get the full hit of what it is you're actually doing, and that's the goalkeeper thing. Gomez is in a really awkward situation. I think it's more of a bad PR situation he's in at this time. He's not doing himself any favours when he has been on the pitch, because it's not even just the cup things though, Steve, is that he had his opportunities when people were injured and he was poor. Yeah. You know, he was genuinely, he had a couple of good games and then he'd have a stinker, or he'd have a bad moment in a game and never recover from it in the game. And that's a concern, a real concern. And he's become that player that you're saying needs to run a 5-10 games. Okay. Yeah, but you're not good enough to play 5 or 10 games, mate. You know, you have to, when you get that chance, grab that shit. Curtis Jones is the example of this. There was no one saying he was deserving of that chair ahead of anyone else. But he got given the opportunity, and now it's his shape because he's shown that he can do it. I agree on the cup things, that people need more of that. In hindsight, again, if you remember, we didn't need that League Cup thing. We genuinely didn't, because that was an absolute shambles. We had no players whatsoever, and the way that they fell, it all January was already stupid, and it was going to be even more so. But next season, there's no excuses, you know.
I think Joe Gomez is lucky that Matic might be leaving, because you'd be looking for an upgrade. It's like I don't think you're going to sign. I don't think, given the work that needs to be done in front of him, which we saw in the midfield, if Liverpool were flying, you just get rid and go and buy a new centre half. There's just too much work. You know, I say it's a bit like the taps leaking, but there's a hole in the ceiling, so we're going to leave the leaky tap for a minute, because that's what we're like with Gomez. Like, he's impressed me once or twice this season. Maybe he was good against City.
End of.
I think that literally.
Maybe. I think, was it Everton? Did he play? I can't remember. There's one more.
The only example I was using was City.
Yeah.
Other than that,
but that's been the outlier. He's been poor. Yeah. You know, and again, I'm with Dan. I'm not sure why him and Matip were that way around, but obviously, maybe Jürgen just wants to have a look at Gomez, because he should be, in fairness. If Canate's out, then Gomez goes and does to, I've got the mobility to get about, exactly, kind of thing. But, I think he'll keep him. He's English, he's young enough, and he's versatile.
Yeah.
But my gosh, I think we can certainly say, the conversation wise, and you know, if Liverpool are flying, I think you'd be looking to cash in.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, this is a few of them. We were doing this on the build-up show, and I think maybe it goes back to last week. I said if you were coming in, taking over Liverpool job on Football Manager this summer, you've got no emotional attachment, you don't have to look the players in the white of the eyes, there's a ton of players you'd just get rid of. You know what I mean? You would just go, okay, Keller, there's £25 million I can put towards something else. There's Joe Gomez, I'd move Matipom, I'd move Tsimikas on, and I wouldn't give it another thought. I'll go and get some other footballers in.
You could probably throw the captain.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, again, even like Thiago, you know, there's plenty of those in there. But I think we're all in general agreement on is that there's so much stuff to be done that you're making a deeper hole for yourself. And you're right, Gomez is one of them. He needs to sum it off. He needs to have a little look at what he's going to be doing. And it does, the way they were used, because it makes no sense, because you're right, skill set wise, Matip and Van Dijk, cool, calm, collected, you know, don't need to be super aggressive in how you defend, that'll work perfectly. And Gomez has got the mobility. The fact that they've done it the other way around says to me, yeah, that's Matip on the way out.
Mm. I remember, I think it was the Armstrong who just ran straight at us. Yeah. Jay Gomez spun in a little circle, he put a bottom bin. I remember saying to Andy Bell, I don't want to see them two partnering each other ever again in a Liverpool defence. But it was that bad.
I think it was the third goal. So on the third one is when
he just backed off.
Someone has to engage at some point.
And then when he does engage, you get span. it was an absolute shit show, to be perfectly honest. They were all over the place, and if Sutton was on the line, I wouldn't have found it funny. But I was literally sat there at 40 down, like I was disbelief with what I was watching. What I will say is, Fabinho did not help them at all. Fabinho was also in the mud. I can understand, remember when you said the other day, probably don't play that lad. Like, I said play it because I wanted to torture him for how bad he'd played this season. I'm hoping that's enough torture. I hope he goes on holiday, because for that goal, I'm pretty sure he can just hack someone down. He misses the tackle, and he's just far too nice, and he can't keep up with them. So instead of just rugby tackling him, which is what you should do, he just lets him bypass him, and he scores. But Fabinho defo didn't help those two.
But it's not even all Fabinho. This goes back to those overriding problems. It was a dead rubber game at the end of the season, and look, it's also not fair to say that it's an exhibition game, and it's not fair to say it's a pre-season game. It's not. It's a competitive game of football, the one that, you know, you get. It's part of the fixture list. People take time off where people go and travel down to watch them. You know what I mean? That's the reality. It's a proper football game for Liverpool, but at the same time, motivations are different. Players do treat it differently. Like those small percentages, like defensively, I thought Trent was dreadful in terms of getting back into the right back slot to do the defensive job. I thought he got absolutely roasted. But at the same time, is it their first goal or the second goal where James Ward-Prowse arrives at the back at the back post? There's three guys there, and Trent's got to go to the guy that he goes to. But James Milner is la-di-da-ing around the middle of the pitch. Mohamed Salah is at his goal hanging, trying to get his 20th goal. You know, if that's a truly competitive game, Mo Salah's playing right back for us there because he's busting a gut to get in and do what he needs to do. Whereas, let's be honest, is he going to expend any more energy than he needs to in that game to get away from the goal? I don't think so.
I'd like to think the second goal and the third and fourth in particular don't happen. If that game means something, I'd like to think Fabinho takes one a yellow and Trent takes the yellow after Henderson just gives it away for no reason. I think you would, but like you can get injured.
Yeah.
Like that's also in your mind. Like, I could whip you down and take the yellow, but also I could break my leg doing it, so be arsed. I did feel a little bit like that. And again, it's indicative of going back to the conversations of that's where we found ourselves, unfortunately.
And Trent's just been picked for England, so it's about time that he had a bad game right back for Liverpool, because that's about par for the course.
I think something that was instructive of the Henderson goal, sorry, the Armstrong goal that Henderson gives away, is that there's a vulnerability to Liverpool when Trent's on his way to the midfield. Because once he's there, he's fine because everyone shifts around on right. But if you give the ball away when he's on his way, you are done for. And Jordan, it's lazy, really. And he can't even tie. He's just literally just going on the pitch.
Yeah.
He's switched off a little bit. Is that, I think, as Trent's making his way in there, you've got to be so careful with that ball. Because if you just do something stupid like that, you are dead. Because the centre-half hasn't had a chance to get round. Yeah. And Trent's out the game. He's completely gone. So that is something that, you know, I think we've learned a little bit against Villa. a weakness in the system, which was that if it's a high line and compressing you. But I also, I think that was instructive as well, as that, my God, you cannot turn the ball over in that situation. You're dead.
One thing I'd say, just moving things forward, we mentioned Harvey Elliott before, Chloe. I thought he was brilliant. He was. And one thing I've started to notice from him is if Liverpool are going to have 65, 70% of the ball, I want Harvey Elliott on the pitch over anyone else that we've tried in that. Look, Milner just basically did a poor Jordan Henderson impression in that game, playing in that position, and I don't think Jordan's the right fit for what we need for that position either. Harvey is probably the closest to, if Liverpool go out and buy someone, if Liverpool go and pay £50 to £100 million for someone to play in that position, say, it'll be someone far more akin to what Elliot's doing than what Jordan Henderson's been doing.
Yeah, he was really good. Like I mentioned earlier, his reverse passes, the way he held onto the ball, the 1-2 touches with Salah, it felt like he understood as well. And there was one thing that I really enjoyed seeing yesterday was when he did overlap, he wasn't scared to use his right foot. And it didn't always work, but he got his corners, he got us something from it. And I think, you know, if it's Salah who's stuck out on the right-hand side and he's overlapped, he doesn't use his right foot. He just will not use it. So I like to see Harvey Elliott actually use it. There were so many times I was just use your right. And when he did, he won us a corner. And that's perfectly fine. That's boss. But also, he found himself in the centre of the box and he was taking things on. He didn't always get the right connection, but he trusted himself. He backed himself. And I love the energy of that. We all know he's got a wand of a left foot and he can, you know, he can dink passes out. His crossing was really good as well. There was loads where he was putting them back post, but no one was there. They were always just going over Luis Diaz's head, who I didn't think did that brilliantly yesterday, but once again, we're not going to see the best of him until next season. But Harvey Elliott yesterday was a shining light, because I've said all season, love him, absolutely love him. And he's had, first half of the season, he was brilliant for us, wasn't he? We asked him to go. And then Wolves, he comes out with a stunner, which their goalkeeper's had a nightmare for as well. But I've always sat there and I've said, I'm not sure where he fits, because he can't play right wing. He doesn't have the pace. He's not a natural in a Jurgen Klopp system. And this Jordan Henderson role, to overlap and do what Jordan Henderson's doing, and maybe we're not looking for that because Jordan Henderson's not the type that we need there. He doesn't use his right foot. But creatively, he was one of the best players on the pitch when he came on.
You know, it's whether we want to replicate what we're doing on the other side, whether we want to have, you know, two inverted guys on the opposite flanks, but I thought it was encouraging. I think it was definitely
something. I think you're right, though, Paul. In a game where you're going to have a lot of the ball, you'll be fine on it. I think the reason he hasn't been playing on that right-hand side is the getting back bit.
Yeah. Discipline of it, isn't it?
He's
willing to do it.
He's really good at it.
What he does when he gets there.
He gets run by. Yeah. But you're right, if you've got the ball and you're on the front foot, I think the difference when he came on is that he had space. I think that's his best attribute. He gets himself into, and listen, like the best, like there's a reason Kevin De Bruyne, I'm not comparing him. De Bruyne is brilliant. De Bruyne is brilliant because he's brilliant, but also he finds spaces where he can be brilliant. Like I thought against Villa in particular, Liverpool was so naive in that we played the game exactly where they wanted us to play it. Against Southampton, Harvey Elliott wasn't having that. He was like, I'm just going to get it there. Yeah. And he was dragging, and you're right, he was. Yeah. My guess is he's going to be prime for that right midfield role because just exactly what Chloe said, he started getting the right foot out. I've never seen him do that before. No. It feels like that's something someone's told him he has to go and work on. You know, he's had a few weeks off. Maybe that's something that he's been doing in training. Like, you need to be able to, if you're going on that overlap around Mo Salah, you need to be able to cross with your right foot. Because you can't slow the game down.
Yeah,
I thought he was really good.
Super chat from Mo Mohammed says that Ugarte would never let Sulemana run through like Fabinho.
He doesn't play for Liverpool.
It's a fairly fundamental flaw to the
if
plan.
If he plays against PSG next year, we might...
Might be Chelsea.
We might see it.
Tony Blakeway, thanks for keeping me entertained during this crap season. Looking forward to the off-season documentaries and roll on 23, 24 and the new era Reds. Absolutely.
Do we only have like several days until the window opens?
14th, the window?
14th. Got two weeks.
Delight.
Yeah. But you can start signing players now.
Can you?
You can't register them until mid-June.
Okay, great.
Okay,
I need a break, Jürgen. Just give me a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of days before we all start to get really...
Let us do our end of season content before you start signing players, please, Jürgen.
They'll do it on a Saturday when none of us are...
Yeah, Saturday at 8 o'clock or something.
Speaking of which, we've got our upcoming Bobby Firmino Best in the World documentary. The first episode, which is going to be coming out on YouTube on the 23rd of June. Effie's some absolutely amazing insight about their players' time at Hoffenheim. We'll give you a little teaser clip on that, and when we return, we're going to be looking and talking about the end of the era at Liverpool.
As a friend, as a character, in the locker room, often on the pitch, we missed him a lot, and especially me, because we had an amazing relationship.
Aber natürlich war ich stolz danach. Also gleichzeitig war traurig, gleichzeitig war ich auch stolz, weil er, das war für ihn eine Belohnung für seine Arbeit, für seine Leistung, was er hier die 4 Jahre geleistet hat. Und wir waren alle hier stolz, ich mit meiner Familie auch. Wir waren sehr, sehr stolz, dass der nach Liverpool, ein so ein großer Verein, dass der das geschafft hat, dahin zu kommen. Und wir wussten, wir waren sicher, dass der dort sehr viel Erfolg haben würde, und so ist auch gekommen.
Ich finde, es ist immer eine Riesenchance und, für den Spieler, und man freut sich einfach, weil von Hoffenheim zu Liverpool, das ist schon geil, und er hat sich das verdient. Was er sich da auch aufgebaut hat in Liverpool ist großartig, und ja, wir haben uns alle einfach nur für ihn gefreut, und umso schöner, dass er dort so lange eine schöne Zeit hatte.
Yeah, I mean, on one side you are sad, on the other side you are happy, because I think you shouldn't be. At this time, I was not sad that it was over. I was actually happy that it happened, and that I could share the locker room with him, and to yeah, the rest is, you know, the story. There's something that the cop on shoots to know. The best in the world is dead,
Bobby, for me, no. Can you describe Bobby Firmino in one word?
Legend. It's pretty standard, though, isn't it? It's not great, but he is, isn't
he? Yes. And there is a brand new teaser coming out on a Friday for that, so keep your eyes peeled on our socials for more details on what is coming in Bobby Firmino Best in the World, 3-part documentary series. If you want all of those episodes and the full interviews around it as well, then do join up to redmanplus.com. For the last couple of days, we've got a code running as well. You can get 50% off a yearly subscription. Choose a club captain yearly subscription and use the code YEAR, YEAR. Instead of £50, it's £25, which is basically giving it away. So bite our hands off over that now. And not only will you get Bobby's doc, you get all the summer transfer stuff, and you're going to get Liverpool win the Premier League next year as well.
We hope so.
Yeah, nice. Well, look, if Arsenal can put together an almost title run from nowhere with just Europa League football and a bunch of children and Granit Xhaka, then we can surely do more.
If everyone watching does that now and we win the Premier League, but we're also in Europa, you're going to have to buy another year subscription just to get the Europa, because that'll be a week or two afterwards.
Very true.
I reckon you should all just join the pact of, if you don't do it, we're not going to win the Premier League.
Yeah.
Because that's the good luck of it.
If anything, now you're
going to have to.
If anything, you're jinxing it.
It's on you.
I know, it's on you, that guy.
We did our bit. You jinxed it. Your fault. Put it on, we've never not had a really good season when we've had a little uptake in subscribers, just saying.
And we've never not had a good season off the back of having a bad season.
No, that's, yeah. I thought you were going with it, to be honest. Yeah.
No, I was being very much selfish.
You were, yeah.
I was hard selling it. I was guilt tripping the sell. Yeah. You poured on the optimist. He's good cop, bad cop. Fucking buy it.
If you want. Pressure, guys. Times are tight. Spend money on things that make you happy. If we make you happy, then spend money on that. Luke McDermott sent a super chat in while we were on the break. I think we're going to have to find a way to bring Trent into midfield on a more permanent basis. Without Canati to cover, we would expose the times.
No, Luke. Trust me, Trent needs the time. He would not be a good midfielder on his own. Where's he playing?
I don't disagree with it. I think you've seen him in a handful of games, that all the things that Trent isn't meant to have, I think we've seen. I think his close control, I think his ability to beat a man has been underrated. I don't think we will, by the way, because I still think we're going to play the system that we're playing. But that's what goes back to our conversation. That's why Matip played that right-hand side, because I think Matip was just filling a space, and that space is someone Liverpool are going to buy this summer, is my general.
I agree with the point on Konate, by the way, and there is an issue there moving forward. We do need to address the fact that if he's not there, who does it?
It should be Gomez. But why isn't it Gomez?
It should be Gomez, in theory, yeah. Attribute-wise, it should be Gomez. But yeah, I think the system is what's successful, not Trent in midfield.
Because, you know, just my thoughts on that, by the way, is that I just think it's so hard to buy. I don't think you can buy a Virgil van Dijk understudy. I just don't think you can. Because he's got to be so good. No one who's that good is going to come and sit behind Virgil van Dijk. Because you might have 3 or 4 years of him being at that level. You know, you might not. But I think it's easier to buy another good centre-half. And I think Gomez, is again, he's played that a little bit more. And look, Gomez can do it. You might yet find that happens. I mean, you know, we've seen Konate used on the left-hand side of the defence still. You know, so... I think that's, again, it looks baffling, but if I had to, yeah, you've always got to look into like the whys, not like, what are you doing? This isn't Twitter, you know what I mean? Where you went to get angry about all things without even considering the ramifications or the inspirations behind it. That's the only thing I can fathom out from any of them. But Mo Mohamed back again with another super chat says, with Mount choosing United, who would you want? Comes back to this, I just don't understand this system enough for me to know what we should be, what kind of players we should be looking at and who's available. I'm still in there's names that I know and recognise. Like for me, you've not got Bellingham. How much is it going to take to steal Musiala from Bayern Munich? You know what I mean? But again,
£1 billion.
Well, I know exactly. Yeah, it's not happening. But again, I've got no idea.
I think Alice is the obvious one. It's the other side. It's what's he? My guess was he wants a Mount to be the new Henderson.
Yeah.
And just leg it. So it's hard, man. Like Gravenberch, maybe, but he's just they're all like, there's no obvious one. You go, just pop a bit.
Gravenberch for me is if you're going to buy three midfielders, he's the third midfielder that you buy because he's not of the standard to come in and play 40 games for Liverpool next season yet. He's just not. And if he was, he'd played that for Bayern Munich this year. They got him too young, and I think we're hoping that we can develop him. But yeah, I don't think he's bought. He would be bought in to improve the first 11 from day one.
It might just be Alexis McAllister. He might.
The wrong side for him, though, is the only problem, isn't it? Really, is the wrong natural side for him. To your point earlier on, actually, Paul, I think you want the finished Harvey Elliott article. You want him like sort of 2-3 years down the line. You want Harvey to be that, but he's not quite that yet. You want the developed him. Who that is, I'm not quite sure, to be honest with you, because he'd ideally be left-footed as well to be a more natural fit again, to tuck in, do all that sort of round the Mohamed Salah stuff as well. So it's a really difficult position to fill, but I do think we need to fill it. Because if we go into next season playing the same system with Henderson and Elliott being the only two options in there, I'm not overly convinced by that.
Right, let's move on to the end of the era stuff then. Thoughts on this statement or this question, Chloe? We've obviously been on the farewell tour for Bobby and Milner for a few weeks now. Do you think it was a help or a hindrance to what Liverpool were doing toward the back end of the season?
It was a hindrance, but it shouldn't have been. Once again, I think we all mentioned it against Aston Villa. Liverpool played the occasion, and it's perfectly fine for the fans to do that. That's exactly what we're there for. We're supposed to get upset. We've grown up with these players. I mean, Bobby was there for what? How many years? 2015? So exactly, a Milner. So, like, I was a child when they came in. I've grown up with them. It's fine for fans to get emotional and say goodbye, but the players can't do that, and we very much played the occasion, and it felt like it might have happened again against Southampton, because as soon as Bobby scored, the away end went absolutely mental, and you could see all the players were like made up, but then we lost focus, and bear in mind he was the one who gave them the ball to get their first back. Like, but yeah, I think it was a hindrance this time, just because we found it hard to separate the occasion to we're still in a top four race here, and it wasn't enough, but I think Chelsea drew with Newcastle and United drew with Fulham. So, you know...
They beat Fulham. They beat Fulham.
Oh, did they? Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better about it then.
I don't think it would have mattered.
Maybe it wouldn't
This is the point I've got, is that Liverpool didn't lose the top four since... Liverpool lost the top four ages ago.
Yeah.
Like, we've unbeaten in 11, seven wins, four draws. It's fine. That's top four form. So I don't think it's been. I think against Villa it was, but ultimately I don't think it mattered in the end. I don't think we. I think had we won every game, I was convinced if we win every game, we'll get top four. And looking at it now, I think I underestimated Newcastle. I think that's what it was. I always thought Man United would have enough. I thought you could get Newcastle. I don't think it matters.
I think Man United were there for the taking because look at the goal difference. They don't score enough goals and they've not got a brilliant defence.
They're just decent at home. Like, they just about do enough at home.
We started the comeback a game too soon. Like, it should have been Arsenal. If we would have turned that into a win, United might have crumbled a little bit. And it always felt to me that we'd missed a game too many,
Needing,
and that was the problem.
Playing City, Arsenal and Chelsea in a small clutch at the break glass, last possible moment, point of no return, was in hindsight the worst time for us to be rebooting what we needed to do. You know, if there'd been a way to do it a little bit earlier, it might have changed things around. But on the Bobby Milner leaving thing, it leads into my overall concerns about the squad moving forward. And look, I'm playing a little bit of devil's advocate. I do feel genuinely quite optimistic. I've got a video going out on my channel about the Europa League later on today and where I think it could benefit the Reds. But I'm a little worried of... I needed people to step up a bit more now. And, you know, that leadership that Milner shows and Bobby shows, they should have been nowhere near that team on the last game of the season. You know what I mean? If you're leaving Liverpool, you should be leaving like Adam Lallana for me. And that's, I'll say Chamberlain's left. And like Keita's left to some extent of, we don't need you anymore. You know, we've got, you're not good enough to play for us anymore and we don't need you anymore. Whereas actually we saw Bobby Firmino scored the two goals in the last two games that have actually got us the points, effectively helped to give us the two draws that we got in those games. And Milner's put in a great shift as well. I think people are going to have to step up over the summer and into the new season. And I would always much rather them have stepped up already than go. Now you've got to step up because that's a different kind of situation.
I think I disagree on Milner. I think it'd be fine without him. If truth be told, maybe I don't know the leadership, so I can't comment. But by all accounts, that could be an issue. Firmino's been one of our better players. That's the problem. Is that again? I do the rankings of Liverpool's forwards this year, and he's above Darwin. He just is. You know, what I mean, he's been. Was it a goal every couple of games? Like when he hasn't been.
It's like
fit.
One in three, basically.
Yeah, he hasn't been fit enough and forward. That's been the problem. But he has been a vital part. So if we're not going to sign a new forward, that is a weakening of the team. I mean, we might sign one.
I don't agree.
Listen, I'm with you. If Darwin takes the step,
why don't you agree?
We all think Darwin should take this step.
Yeah,
and if he does, I'm with you. It'll be fine. But if Darwin has this other season, we're not in a great. We've got Salah. Gakpo,
Jota Diaz.
Mate, those last two are brilliant. They are always injured.
It's Cody Gakpo.
Gakpo's
boss, though. That's why I don't agree. It's Cody Gakpo. I had a conversation with Chris actually on the IMR yesterday on Redmond Plus about this and our attacking weapons and the strings we have to our bow. And for me, I don't know whether we'll ever settle on a front three again like we did with Mane, Salah and Firmino. But for me, moving forward, it should pretty much exclusively be sort of a Jota, Gakpo, Salah with the X factor of Diaz and Nunes to be thrown in. And that's how I see it moving forwards. And I think we're just going to have to live with that. The likes of Darwin's going to have to live with that for the time being. But for me, the reason why I'm not concerned about Bobby leaving, and Bobby Firmino has been one of my favourite Liverpool players of all time, by the way. Cody Gakpo has shown me more than enough quality since coming in to show me that he can do that role with ease and a little bit more, by the way. He's got a little bit more to him than Firmino. I think he's a better finisher. I think he's quicker. I think he's stronger. He has got the lot. And on Milner also, for me yesterday, that was just a sentimentality start for me. I don't have concerns. You're right, sort of behind the scenes, the leadership quality. We might miss him there, but you just want the other lads to step up. Then you want your Trents to step up in this world. Curtis Jones maybe as well, being a local lad. They've got to sort of follow his footsteps, if you like. But yeah, in terms of Firmino, whilst I agree, and obviously scored two crucial goals in recent weeks, so it's very easy to say, God, we're going to miss him. We are. But if Cody Gakpo is playing them minutes and he's on the pitch instead, I see no reason why he wouldn't be doing that.
No, mate. I think I agree Cody Gakpo is the Roberto Firmino replacement of like 2 years ago, Roberto Firmino. This Roberto Firmino is just a number nine. And that should be Jota.
Yes, but Jota.
But he's playing left wing. So it can't, that's the problem. Is that I think Bobby has actually been, get the ball in the box and he'll score. that's what he's become this season a little bit. You know, all the goals he's scored.
Like last season as well. And Jota will still do that from left wing though, won't he? He did it yesterday from left wing twice.
And he absolutely can. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is now we've got five.
Yeah.
Diaz and Jota's injury record is sketchy at best. So now you're down to three.
Even Darwin Nunes' injury record this season's been quite horrific.
I wouldn't say Darwin Diaz's injury record is sketchy. I think he's had
a big injury.
Effectively, he's had one injury, hasn't he? I know it's people might class it as two, but it's not. It was the same. He had the one injury, and it was a bad one.
But you never know how they're going to come back.
But he played more minutes than anyone in the whole of Europe by the end of last season.
What I should say, or to clarify that, is that are we expecting to be just fully from day one next season sound? And if he is, he's brilliant. But like, you're always thinking with one that's that bad, it can take a year.
Jota, for me, is a bit like Aguero under Guardiola, where I don't think stylistically almost he's what we're kind of looking for, but he just scores goals. Yeah. And so you're like, you've just got to find a way to get him on the pitch as much as possible.
I also think the press is better when he's on it. He's better than Diaz and Nunes on the left wing, pressing wise. But that's just. I think it's something. I disagree slightly on the Milner thing. I don't think Liverpool need Milner. I think this season they've needed Roberto Firmino, and we're going to sell him.
He's our third top goal scorer.
Yeah, we're going to sell him. Obviously, we're going to lose him. And by all accounts, there's no forward coming in. And I get the gap. I understand the gap. Oh, Gakpo's been outstanding. He's far exceeded my expectations. But we're down to five. Listen, I think there's a massive Nunes question.
There is, absolutely.
Square peg, round hole.
Just the point though. We started the season with five.
Yes, Gakpo came in mid-season.
Is the point. Shit.
We've replaced him.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Five's more than we've ever had.
We've never had five.
Yeah, but I think we all first team senior age forwards.
No. I thought we all thought Carvalho was the sixth one, though.
But I think
maybe
at the time. Well, I know I did, and that's not planned. So maybe it's an Elliott-y thing. I don't know what it is.
Ben Doak.
Kay Gordon, the options, but...
I'm sorry, I apologise. We have had five before, but I mean, like, Minamino and Origi have been previously with us right now. Levels. Five and six is Diaz, or four and five is Diaz and Nunes. It's miles better than any selection
that we've had. Back to the original thing, you know, the hindrance question. The reason I said that this farewell hindered Liverpool, and it might have not affected the top four race, who knows, because United still had to play midweek, and then... Mm-hmm. So if Liverpool would have put the pressure on, you just never know. But I remember last year when we were going for the title, Liverpool up until about whenever we scored and Salah thought he'd won it for Liverpool, Liverpool were playing the occasion once again.
Yeah.
And I need them to mentally not do that. They need to stop doing it.
Yeah.
And it's two seasons in a row that they've played the occasion. And I understand, one's winning a title. It's much, much bigger. This is something where you should be able to step away from it, and it felt like they couldn't.
We're an emotional team.
Exactly.
Buy into the crowd.
If you buy into it, if Jürgen cultivates this emotion thing, and it's brilliant 98% of the
time, but
there's a hindrance to it.
Exactly.
We felt that a lot. We felt that. Yeah. I remember being that game, remember that Middlesbrough 3-0. That first half against Middlesbrough, when we did Alexis Sanchez to score for Arsenal, it was nervy and it transmitted down. Mm. We're crap at it as fans.
Exactly.
We're rubbish at being nervous.
Yeah.
And the players, so everything we do, good or bad, they soak in. And I agree, Liverpool need to be able to just switch away from that and just focus on
it. It was a major hindrance during COVID, wasn't it? So we had no one there. It seriously impacted our performances because we weren't able to sort of separate the two.
Yeah, that's where
I'd just, like, the hindrance was on that, not on the fact of top four. It's about
being the well-oiled machine. And the thing is, this season we're not. And last season we were running at the ragged edge of football. You know, we were going for a quadruple, we were going for the unprecedented. Mm-hmm. We were bouncing into a must-win game every 3 days across continents,
crazy,
you know, and all kinds. So,
semi-finals.
So they actually were emotion-powered, you know, whereas if we dropped, the two cups that we actually won, which are the things we ended up celebrating at the end of the season exclusively, if we'd actually just dropped them competitions, we probably wouldn't have been in that situation. We might have had more in the tank come the end and it wouldn't have been as emotional. We might have gone completely empty-handed regardless. So you're right, getting that composure back and that assurity back is definitely part of what needs to be high on the agenda, and that's just a deeper understanding of what their responsibilities are on the pitch, you know, a deeper trust of the players that are playing alongside them, and then going out and doing it. You know, go out and win some football matches, and to where I am hopeful is, it would have been nice to end on a couple of wins, so you could say nine straight wins, and you bounce into next season
it was actually almost more important that we didn't lose in that spell, because you do get to say 11 unbeaten or whatever instead, which is not as significant, but it will feel like that. It means that you're in form. You know, you end the season, as you said before, you're in at least top four, not far off title challenging form from that kind of run of games.
And also, Sam, don't think it has hurt anyone for us to all realise how much still needs to be done in the transfer window.
Yes.
If we would have won them all on the bounce and only just missed out on top four, people can probably turn around and say, oh, actually, you know, Fabinho, no, he's fine. Midfield, maybe if we... Now that we've realised there's still cracks there and they're still very much on show, not saying that like Jurgen Klopp and that wouldn't have seen that, but from a fan perspective, it's still good to see that.
I don't think there's a chance that Liverpool weren't going to have to do significant work in this transfer window anyway. But I think you're right in terms of it adds pressure, but I don't think it adds any more pressure to Klopp. Klopp's got loads of pressure on him this summer and into next season. But it definitely adds pressure where it needs to be, and that is on the ownership group to make sure that the funds are available to get whatever Jürgen needs to do to make that a reality. Because you're right, there's no sugarcoating that. There's no paper over the cracks. It's stark. It's night and day. Is £100 million for getting to the semis final of the Champions League, and there's like what, a quarter of that for winning the Europa League. There's a huge shortfall coming in Liverpool's accounts, and the only way to do that, you've got to spend your way out of that, which is very counterintuitive, but that's the way it is.
So it's very instructive that one of the reasons we are here now is last summer. Got it wrong, and it was the first window for a while, and Liverpool were bad. So, some of it was unfortunate, but they've signed a right back who can't play. He's been injured the whole time. Again, that's unlucky.
Yeah.
But bear in mind, you signed him when he failed his medical. So just keep that in mind. You signed Darwin Nunez for one plan, and the plan, whatever it was, he was raw. We saw that from day one. He was always going to be raw. You signed Fabio Carvalho, who's getting sold now. And then you signed Arthur Melo. So one bad window. If Liverpool would have got Cody Gakpo last week, in hindsight, we were screaming for a forward. But if they'd have got an equivalent player, like we'd have been fine on top four, wouldn't have been a problem. And one bad window gets you this. A second bad window, and look what Chelsea... following on, you might get Chelsea now. It isn't that hard in the Premier League to go... You know what I mean? That should be the wake-up sound. I always think that they've always said... Liverpool's floor will be, you know what, we'll always get fourth. Worst case is, with this manager, and we've got Mo Salah, we've got Virgil van Dijk, and we've got Alisson, and we'll always get fourth. And then the Newcastle came and went bang. And that's, oh my God.
Timing's huge on this. Yeah. You know, Leicester win the league because of timing. You know, that you don't win the league in any other season. That what they do is not enough to win. Is not enough to win the Premier League title. The seasons where you scrape into top four is what they're doing in that. And you know, again, that's the worst timing of things. And some of it's certainly a bit of mismanagement from Liverpool. It absolutely is. I don't think there's any hiding that. You know, the not just the ownership, but like the people that they've put in at the club to actually manage the day to day. They've gotten huge things wrong. You can get things wrong, but you can bounce back. And we saw this 2 years ago. You know, we have one of the worst seasons going. We finished third, and you get to kind of dust yourself off. Whereas that's, you know, we've tried to repeat the trick almost there and fucked it, because we got lucky that season that Manchester United were in inverted commas the second best team in England, which was nonsense, by the way. And that's not simply been the case. There's too many other good teams that have capitalised. And you're right, if they don't get it right this window and going into January as well, there's too many others, vultures circling, ready to capitalise on Liverpool's misfortune again. And then all of a sudden you're 2 years, and you're a Europa League team. Then that's when Mo Salah goes, sorry lads, but I'm not spending any more of my career playing at this.
You're wasting Jurgen Klopp.
I think I'm right in saying Liverpool are 25 points worse off. Man United 17 points. No one saw that swing, and I bet you the owners of Liverpool or everyone above them thought, like, didn't see that. What I would say is that my guess is, and I might be wrong, is that I think in hindsight he probably thought that one was going to be better than he was.
Yeah.
Because he was the big splash play. He was the splash play, and it was like, right, he'll soften the blow, and it just hasn't quite worked out for
him. I think Jurgen Klopp had begun his transition away from being as hands-on day-to-day of everything. You know, I think whether he was starting to lean towards Pep or leading towards a change in thing that's going to make it easier for the next guy to step into his shoes, and it's going wrong, and I think he's kind of grabbed hold of the reins, and in doing so, he's gone, sorry, what have you done here? What? No. Nope. Not him. Mm. Not him, and...
Carvalho might be an example of that, because he's getting bombed out.
He's the easiest example of it. If Darwin Núñez had cost us £35 million, I think there's a very realistic chance that he gets sold. But actually, unfortunately, we're not a club that can afford to make mistakes and throw them away. You can take a punt on chucking Carvalho out on a loan. What are you going to do with Darwin Núñez? You've just got to keep him and see if you can coach into some sort of shape. And then give it another year and maybe another year and see how he goes.
Does anyone know what the add-ons were for him? Like, was it to win the Premier League? If not, at least we've saved some money there.
I'll tell you what else is a good example of Klopp taking over the reins again is the incoming sporting director appointment. Yeah. Essentially his mate, who he wants alongside him to oversee stuff. And obviously the unrest behind the scenes hasn't helped. And I wonder whether that's a fallout from how bad last summer's window was as well. And Klopp has gone, what's happened there? Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong, he was front and centre, and I always hark back to this press conference that he gave about the midfielders. We've got XYZ type midfielders. And I think everyone to a man, woman or child sat there and went, not quite sure about that. But he was essentially towing the party line because he obviously knew what was happening. We end up signing Artemelo. Huge oversight, no doubt about it. But it does feel to me, ever since then, not long after Julian Ward announced he's leaving the football club, it's like, okay, that's odd. And now all of a sudden we're getting his German mate in to come and do the job, who, by the way, is more than qualified to do it, but it's very much a Jurgen Klopp appointment. So it does smack of him saying, no, I'm taking over again.
Yeah, and again, because this is what boils down to. Klopp's tied himself to the football club. He's earned the power that he's got, and he the buck stops with him. And there is a thing where, you know, when it's all going well, you can, you know, delegate more and more, and, you know, and it begins to flourish. But I think you said this the week, it's like that's the thing about it. It's like, it boils down, it's on Jurgen Klopp. Jurgen Klopp's head's on the chopping block if it doesn't work. You know, he's the one who's going to have, no one's going to blame Pep Blinders, and no one's going to blame the goalkeeping coaches and going to blame the physios and the fucks. I mean, I know we're blaming the doctor this season, but, you know, no one's going to take the, it's going to be Jurgen Klopp takes the credit for the success, and he takes the criticism for the failures as well. And yeah, you know that, and you see it happen with managers all the time. He's grabbed control of what he's able to grab control of, and Finn, it's like you double down on yourself, don't you? And obviously I hope that's the right thing to do. We've got enough of the smart people still in the building. There's a lot of weird stuff again, the schmaggy stuff. I just don't know enough about it, but everything I hear...
Well, it's coming in for like 3 weeks or something.
Well, it's fucking... The whole thing's mad. Like, it's very crazy. Weird. It's a weird situation.
But this is what we've mentioned about the mismanagement of Liverpool in the last couple of years. And it goes into the transfer window with us not buying players, but it also goes into what's happening behind... We had no doctor. The researchers who are behind a lot of the tactics and everything, they're getting off. It's the fact that we, you know, Julian Ward left, his understudy came in, oh, actually, nah, I can't be bothered, I'm getting off. It seems like, and maybe this is just the wrong timing, all of a sudden, even the backroom staff, and Liverpool are so secretive on everything, and it just seems to all work, and you don't even have to question anything. And this year, I've questioned the players, given everything, I've questioned the tactics, what the hell we're doing, why everyone in the backroom staff are leaving, what's happened in the transfer window, why we haven't done anything. And it's all just happened at once. And I wonder if that's all because it's all fell apart at the seams, or whether it is just bad timing and it's time to move on for some people.
And maybe, and also like add into that, going on a pre-season tour where you lose two players for a month. But what I would say is that I think... I would give them the benefit of the doubt in that it's what they've already, for example, this pre-season, they're not going until late. Klopp's getting his way, he's getting his... I've got a sense that he's got in there and gone, listen, like what you said, I'm in charge. We're not going there. We've got my training camp. Here's the players. Here's what we're going to do.
I'm the one who's getting sacked if this gets
on my head, be it.
And he's earned that, by the way. Yeah, he's earned the right to do that. Yeah,
of course he has. And listen, it can go one or two ways. We'll find out down the line. But my worry with that, again, it's pros and cons. The pros I've got for Liverpool next season, I think we're the second best team in England. I still say it all the time when everyone's right and wrong, and I think they will be if they can sign two or three midfielders, probably three. But it can go the other way. It can quickly go the way Chloe said. It can become Chelsea, where these little bits just chip away. Before you know it, it's gone, ugh.
So well, it's the Golden Gate Bridge painting analogy, isn't it? Of like, that's the problem we've got, is that by the time we refresh the squad, the stuff that was fine needs refreshing. Yeah. So we'll go this summer, and that's the... It's like, again, you have a problem with your car, so you repair a little bit here and you repair a little bit here, and ultimately you end up in a situation you've not realised the 2 years down the line, and you spent more than the total value on the car replacing little bits and pieces on it. And actually, if you could have done, you could have just gone in one big swoop at one point, cut it all off, took the hit for a year or two, but then bounced back more quickly. And I think that's what we're doing this summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we've realised there's no one quick fix that's going to help us with this. And that's why I do think it will be, you know, we've clearly called time on an era. Klopp wants Milner, and someone's taken that decision to go, no, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
There's money tied up in Milner that can be used towards someone else. You can be more competitive for the side.
Sorry, Steve.
But Mo Mohammed's asking Super Chat thoughts on breaking news about Fabio Carvalho. And again, there's another one. We all talk about people being sentimental. There's another one here saying, like, you know, Pep's not, Jane Lee saying Klopp's made us overly sentimental, which has hurt us in the big moments compared to Pep, which I think is a bit overstated. I think that's a bit of a, it's like I learned that via osmosis as a term. I don't think it's totally true, but I do think this is a summer where they have to be a bit more brutal. Hang out for another year. No, if you're not good enough, mate, then you know, yeah, then we're gonna have to push out the door and try someone else.
That goes against what we just had. Oh, Klopp getting all the power. We obviously haven't got all of it. Because Milner's got, so someone above Jürgen's gone, no. So maybe it isn't. Maybe, who knows what's going on there? Because it's contradicted the point I've just made. Jürgen's doing, I'm in charge, I'm the man. Well, he's just trying to give James Milner a contract, so someone's gone.
Well, no, but what I mean by that is, it's you said it, we bought Darwin Núñez and Carvalho, and you know, maybe even Diaz to some extent, because there's a vision of what Liverpool are going to look like. And I think that vision is what Man City have done with Erling Haaland. I think that's what they've tried. I think they've bought Diaz to be our Grealish, and they've bought Haaland to Núñez to be our Haaland. And it's not, they've not been able to figure it out for a variety of reasons, and Jürgen's gone, right, no. And that's why you see him Jota back in the team, and that's why Cody Gakpo is Firmino 2.0. Which it's pure speculation. That's what I mean by control. But ultimately, he's Jürgen Klopp. He doesn't want. He's not the guy signing the contracts or setting the budget.
Who do you have
or whatever.
To Milner? Because Julian Ward's getting off.
That'll have been
very high up.
Somewhat probably high up, chief exec sort of level. Potentially. Yeah.
I mean, I can't see that being like Billy Hogan, but that'll more likely be what's the guy's name? Who's in charge from Fenway? Mike Gordon. Yeah, that'll be my. I would suspect a combination of the analytics people plus Gordon, because they all kind of sit in a room, don't they? Mm-hmm. And someone's gone, there's another year to be added. Milner, absolutely.
Mm.
And Klopp's gone, well, all these other things about him off the pitch and blah, blah, blah. And then someone's gone, yeah, but mate, there's 125 grand a week, say, that, you know, that covers the wages for two new lads coming in at the bottom of the starting pay scale, and then you've got 5 years of actually incremental increases when they start to success. You've got hungry players coming in again. That would be my analysis.
Mad though, like Michael Edwards got off, which is perfectly fine. He spent ages at the club, but his understudy who'd been there grafting ages, Julian Ward, when it's his time to shine, he's now getting off his... Like, I don't know what...
He's waited
a long time to be the understudy. Bear in mind how much did we all love Michael Edwards from a fan perspective in terms of what he did for us. And Julian Ward stepped up to be that role, and he doesn't even want it.
Some people, well, yeah, I think there's a reality to things, isn't there? Like the fantasy and there's the reality. And you often have this, to use like an old pub term, you used to have like the duty managers would be there out of a night spinning the keys around and like walking around like the cock of the walk and looking up at the person who was the manager and going, yeah, I can do that. They get that job and they realise, oh, it's actually twice as much work for half as much, effectively half the pay for what I'm putting in. Everyone turns to me for the answers. There's loads more stress. When it goes wrong, I'm the one who gets shouted at all of a sudden, you know, and people step into roles and then see the reality of it and go, actually, shit, this wasn't for me, you know. And
also, I wouldn't be shocked if, going back to the Jürgen thing, it feels like, you know, it feels like the Henderson contract extension played into this a little bit. Like, there's battles within a club and who's side. It's messy. And that's why this is the big summer now, because it can go one or two ways. The only reason we're talking about all of this is because we finished fifth. Yep. You know what I mean? If they'd have finished third or second, we'd have all been like, no one would have been asked. And that's the problem, is that ultimately, it came down to Liverpool weren't good enough on the pitch. And these are all reasons potentially why they weren't. And whatever, again, I couldn't care less who makes the signings or sign the good ones. And the, whatever. That's what it should be. Yeah. But that's how it should be.
Yeah.
Liverpool,
that's how it used to be, isn't it?
Liverpool were the gold standard of football club, how to run a football club for years. I understand City were beating us to titles and stuff, but we were more than there with them. We were still winning the major honours, doing it without 115 charges on our heads. Mm-hmm. But now it feels like that's all slightly chipped away. And whatever happened, like I know the restructuring and everything they need to get it this summer is so big for like so many different reasons.
But it's not just that, the pressure that's on. Yeah, we need a massive summer, and it's because of other teams who have capitalised and they're now above us. And people are, like you've seen with Mason Mount, want to go to other teams because they've got Champions League football. But the other thing that Liverpool need to worry about is we all City are expecting us to go again for a title. And people can call us ludicrous, but it's because we know what a Jürgen Klopp side can do. But the thing is Jürgen Klopp sat there thinking, not just do I have to get the signings right, the pre-season right, to win a league against Manchester City from the first game week, you have to be on top of that Premier League and you have to somehow run away. You've got to keep that lead. So Liverpool can't afford to start the season off a little bit slow and maybe game five, you know, start to pick up the point. Because City, if City go for it and start, you struggle.
The only way to beat City is to get a lead and
we do against Fulham. I mean, we watched that game here. That's that then. And that's what it was. Not only could we do because we were crap. Yeah. I was like, oh wow, that's what we're in for then, is it? It's one of those. That's what I'm saying. The summer's so important, but the summer starts now.
Yeah, you are right, but the first two points lend itself to the third one, don't they? You get your signings, get your pre-season right, and all of a sudden you're off and running. And that was the opposite of what happened last summer. Essentially, the signings were a mess, and the pre-season was a mess.
And also, it was a case of we got Nunes, and then he had some blisters, and he couldn't play.
Yeah,
and someone fumed at me the other day because I mentioned that Darwin Nunes can't speak English. Sadly, his manager can't speak Spanish. You're in the English league. I don't know what you want me to say. He's got to learn, and he will be learning English. Why? Because it's essential. Because not Thiago coming over to him and speaking in his ear and speaking Spanish. Yeah. He can't get the passion over. He might not get the correct messaging. There might be different tactics here that Jürgen Klopp's trying to implement on Darwin Nunes. He has to learn the language, and that is, if anything, it's applause to him for getting 15 goals and not knowing English. See it as a positive sign, because once he gets that, it'll be easier to him. But Liverpool have so much to do. And like I mentioned, you can't bring in these players and still be stumbling in pre-season and not knowing your best side and just lobbing players in there. Because from game week one, you have to go. Yeah. You have to get it right. You have to be on track if you want to win the title. It's just that simple.
You've got to hit the ground running, I agree. But on the English thing, it's interesting. I think James Pearce brought it up the other day about Naby Keita. He said he still has problems. And that was part of the reason. That was one of the overriding reasons why he's really struggled. I mean, injuries are probably the overriding reason. But the fact he never truly learned the language, he wasn't able to integrate and understand things. Yeah. It's hindered him.
Klopp,
it's not helped.
Klopp specifically mentioned Nunes and the language thing. And listen, I couldn't go to frigging Europe.
Do you reckon that is, is Daniel Sturridge needs to know the difference between pain and real pain type thing for Darwin there? Let everyone know it's not actually my fault. He does
that a lot, Klopp, doesn't he? Yeah. He does that quite a bit. Like, quite clever with that.
And I don't know any other language, so I am, you know, fuming at someone who can probably speak two or three languages. It's just not English. But you are in the Premier League, you're in an English league, and your manager can't speak Spanish. Like, one of you is going to have to learn the other language, and it's better to learn English because all the other players will have to learn English because they have to do. They have to come out and do press stuff and everything as well.
Imagine if he does learn English, and then he realised what people have been calling them all year. Because figure it. Butter someone for nothing. Imagine if he actually understood what the fella said to him.
I'm encouraged in terms of what we come back to, and the raw materials is what we've built. And again, it's going to be so influenced by what we buy. And look, people might see this in whatever light they'll choose to see it in. I'm not genuinely asked of. I'm not asked who we buy. I mean, what I mean is, I'm not. I've seen people get wound up when we get linked with someone tentatively, and then we don't buy them, and people's heads fall off. Whereas in reality, there was a chance that certain footballers we weren't ever linked with, and that's not Bellingham, by the way. This is
Agata.
This is Klaas Jan Huntelaar, who was linked by a team talk rumour page. And Aubrey used to do the shows with us, one of my longest, oldest friends on earth, told me how he said, Liverpool, don't go for him. I will be fucking raging. And it's like,
you're just going to be raging, mate. You've decided, you've chosen to be angry about something in that regard. And that's the thing that what I mean by this is I need to see them play for Liverpool.
Yeah.
You know, because I've been surprised and I've been often wrong. Like the Salah one, I thought that was a mad decision to go for someone like Salah at the time when he'd not succeeded in the Premier League. I thought he'd missed his window of opportunity to join us in the past.
I thought Gerrard
looked like the kind of sign. Yeah. I thought Julian Brandt looked like the kind of sign. I thought Mahmoud Dahoud looked like ones we should be going for. Missing out on Nabil Fekir seemed a bit mad, and you know, but I thought, why are we buying a left back from Hull? Why are we buying, you know, lads from Stoke? Why are we buying all these? Why are we buying a winger from Newcastle and all this kind of stuff? And these lads have gone on and been huge for us. So I just want us to make sure that we're doing the right things. And the raw materials that I've seen and what we have been buying, we're buying at pace, we're buying power, and we're buying aggression. And I think that's what we need to do now. Liverpool need to be a bigger, more juiced up version of what they've been before. We need brutes, angry dickheads, more angry dickheads on the pitch for Liverpool, I think. And if we've got that, I think there's something to get really excited around. Of course, you've got the silky players to knit it all together. But in what I can see, what we're putting together all of a sudden, and I'm excited by it. And I just now, I want a couple of weeks off to rest and recharge. I want to get excited about the transfers, not the rumours. I want to get excited around seeing lads come in and knowing they're coming in and getting to know more about them.
Yeah.
And then I can't wait for pre-season to see how they fit in and so forth.
That's what I remember someone commented on the video I did after the game yesterday, where I said, I just want a couple of weeks off. I don't want to talk about football, don't want to do anything with football. And someone said, no, we can't have breaks off because the transfer window. I've got no control over the transfer window. I've got a control over the football game when I'm inside the ground and I'm making noise and I'm shouting and I'm screaming. I don't have control over the transfer window. And I've now learned after Jude Bellingham to just not even, until Liverpool announce a picture with someone holding a shirt, I do not care anymore. I'm going to just leave it all to be. And when they sign, that's when I get excited and I'll be boss. But once again, I'm not going to sit here and speculate rumours anymore because I can't be bothered because it just gives you
apart from on our daily news shows.
Honestly, can I just say, tune into the Red Men Liverpool News transfer updates every single day here on YouTube and as a podcast that
I'll
Chloe
be
will be hosting as well. So yeah, book your ideas. You get 3 days. You've got till Thursday and then you're back on it, Colin.
Okay, final line on the Nunes stuff from Garth Junior Wilkinson here, saying the most important takeaway is that Nunes scored 15 goals in the season when he doesn't know word of English.
Exactly. That's why I said use it as a positive, guys, because if he's doing that and he can't understand Jurgen Klopp and the system fully, imagine him understanding what Jurgen Klopp actually wants him to do.
Wait, he can say pass next season. It'd be prolific, the lad.
On target. On target.
Yeah.
In between the goals. Post
first touch,
flying,
softly, Darwin.
Watch him soar, win ahead, you're back again.
Settle
and breathe, Darwin.
I tell you what, though, one of my favourite moments was when we scored against Newcastle and Nunes, who has absolutely not to do with it, he's given it absolutely loads and telling him to
F-off. Yeah, he lost his mind.
Who was the fight against when he ran down the touchline? And he does like a little skip.
He does.
On the way down.
Like involved. That wasn't the
city. Brilliant.
Newcastle.
Yeah. Again, he's
Ev.
Might be Everton.
Yeah. Got right involved. He comes sprinting down.
Brilliant.
I love him. He's absolutely wild.
Europa League beckons for Liverpool. I can spin out a wheel where I'm. And again, I'm just tread on my own other video, but it is a very small cross section of Liverpool fans globally who get to go to games and get to go to aways, but there is something to the journey that matters, you know, and it sounds that, but we need a new load of songs, you know, we're losing the Firmino song.
Mm-hmm. Gakpo,
you know, Salah's song has just lost its, you know, verve over the last few years, and Van Dijk similarly. We need to reboot and we need opportunities for these lads to go and play and give us moments and, you know, and that kind of stuff. So randomly, a lot of lads who are going to play Europa League football for us this season could well be huge members of this team in 2 or 3 years down the line. And having those crazy far-flung journeys across Europe, I'm quietly quite excited. I think people forget the group stages of the Champions League are fucking rubbish as well. Like, I mean, they really are. You know what I mean? Unless you you're fighting for it, and with a game or two left to go, there's not really any true drama or intrigue in them. It is the knockouts where it matters. The Europa League's got that, but you're playing some mad teams you've never heard of. They're going to be looking to boot you up in the air, you know, hard, and the team gets to be a bit more battle hardened for it. Yeah, I can make a case for that.
Not believer.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, Real Madrid, Seville might win, and they're going to get down. But I was thinking the other day, it's not good that in the Europa League.
No.
Like, there's no positive like way to. But like one of the few plus points for it could be game time for these lads, because there's been too many people like Joe Gomez, like Kevin Kelleher, even to an extent, you know, Curtis Jones, who's just been thrown in, give them, they effectively use like the League Cup. It, you know, you can, for the first four group games, just go and play these lads. And then if you need to get through and if you, then you can give the good lads a game if you absolutely have to. But there's too many guys this season because Liverpool have been pouring in the cups, who have been thrown in complete cold. Kostas Tsimikas is another one where he gets dropped in every now and then, and he does okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no games before them. Like the reason Minamino and Origi last season got to the end of the season where they were like still having a little bit of, because they've been dropped in along the way. Minamino been playing in the League Cup, been having these FA Cup games, and then all of a sudden you play Southampton away, and there's Taki scoring a goal. You need. We've had no games. Like, I felt sorry for Joe Gomez yesterday. I felt sorry for Keith Keller. They were both rubbish. Don't get me wrong, and that's that. But my God, you haven't I haven't kicked the ball since January for Liverpool. Like, that's hard. That's what the Europa League can provide you. Mm. You know, it give Arsenal a chance to blood a few players in and things like that. It isn't a good thing, but it's the positive issue.
Yeah, there are positives from it. It's you've got to be careful, and you feel like you've got to be careful because there's too many people on the internet and do love to leap down your throat of like, oh, somehow you're accepting mediocrity. And blah, blah. It's more the realism of it. We can cry all we want about not being in the Champions League, but Liverpool aren't in the Champions League. So you have to find ways. And again, because you've got to put yourself in the mind, so you don't have to, but I choose to work out what are the conversations going to be at the AXA. And Jürgen Klopp's not going to go, oh, fucking Europa League. He's going to go, okay, here's the opportunities that it presents. And that's life, by the way. You know, that's what how you should approach life. And life gives you lemons and all that kind of stuff, is that you can sit and fucking cry and whinge about the situation. It won't change the past. What you can do is get your attitude together, get a plan together, and go and change it with what comes next.
If you, the more Europa League games you play, the less chance you can play on Saturday at 12:30 away from
exactly. Yeah, there's two more things on that as well. At the time this season, European football looked off the cards exclusively, let alone Europa League. So let's take that for one thing. And also, we've just been talking about how big this summer is and how much of an overhaul we need this summer. Do you want to really perform that overhaul and then go into a Champions League game? Probably, but at the same time, Europa League's slightly easier, so it makes that transition a little bit easier.
Yeah. The other thing is if you want to be back in the Champions League, not next season, the season after, you need to learn how to play two games a week, three games a week.
Yeah.
And also, when we've been going for the biggest things, it's all about rhythm and bouncing, and that means you can't have a week off. Means bouncing every single... So there's two more positives there to look at it. At least you can bounce into them. And also, it's a European competition. It's in Dublin. We want to win it. So, you know, when it all starts, we can all be doom and gloom now, but when it starts, we'll all be up for it.
I'm 100% sleeping in a car in Dublin. It's in my future.
I'm already booked Belfast.
I can see it now.
I'm waiting to find out how to get there.
Josh Owen with the Super Chat says, look forward to pre-season, new signings and youth. Yeah, and that, I mean, again, there's just so many unknowns. That's the thing about it. It's the undiscovered country, what's happening for Liverpool moving forward. I can't truly, but I believe that we'll be back to being a top side next season, because there's enough evidence in previous years to suggest that'd be the case. But we've also not been here. This is genuinely almost like, because look, other clubs and other Liverpools sack the manager at the end of this season, you know, because it's feeling like it's run its course and it's the end. Whereas this doesn't feel like the end. I've been there before. You know what the end feels like. You feel
it.
It's the opposite of that.
And again, the fight that we saw in the back end of that Southampton game, the change in system, so many positives from players to come in. Klopp actually looks well up for the fight, which I think is a good thing as well. This feels a bit like actually Klopp's coming in kind of almost fresh and built and taken over from a previous side, and we're getting to go back on that journey up again. So Europa League does take a little bit of the pressure off. It allows us to kind of grow. Europa League might be a little bit of a cocoon for something that grows into a better thing off the back of it, hopefully.
Is this where we're wearing the same shirt?
Yeah, Steve's wearing his one upstairs as well. We've gone very red men heavy today.
The other thing is that Is no one else just
although
excited?
Mine's black and yours is red, just in case you ran away.
Jesus but, Christ, come on.
It's like a like roulette.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. The other thing, me point.
I don't know why I said that.
Great point. Sorry, Chloe. Sorry, Chloe. The point that you were making.
My point that I was making is no one else absolutely excited to see what we do because I've not got a clue yeah. who yes. we sign. Oh, but I just know we're going to sign.
My favourite time of year. This. I love it. I love a transfer room.
I'm a big. Oh yeah, big fan. Me and Dan have worked in the industry for a
big
while.
Time.
Milk and transfer room is what they're worth. The only one I think we'll sign is Alexis McAllister. Yeah. You could name me 40 other players, and I'd be like, yeah, maybe. I'm not ruling not an in or not an out. It could be anyone. It could be some lad from Galatasaray. Yeah. It could be Conor Gallagher. I've got no idea who we're going to sign.
I've been in that situation. There was maybe me calling Andy Carroll, Geordie the Jungle. Because he looked like George the Jungle, there's long hair, and I thought it was dead clever. What a fucking half season wonder he is. He's rubbish. Yeah. £35 million in January we bought him for. Ah, the internet.
Just think of how many shirts we'll be able to make.
Oh, shirt numbers as well. We need a new 7, we need a new 8, we need a new 9, we need a new 10.
Gakpo's 9.
Stop it, guys. I'm trying to. I was waiting for a break yesterday, and now look at what you're doing. Getting excited.
I like it.
We've got you back.
Elite 6 with the super chat before we head. I'm of the opinion we said the Europa League. Seriously, go strong. Imagine what a comp like that could do for the confidence of the likes of Darwin. Exactly that. We'll see, won't we? But these lads should be miles better. Now, it is a bit like, you know, when you get those third round away ties in the FA Cup and you're like, this will walk this. And then they literally throw their souls on the line to stop you. That is the one caveat. When you were saying this the other week, well, it's an embarrassment if we don't win the Europa League next year. You forget that you actually have to go to these you have to go to these mad countries against these teams for whom it's the biggest occasion in their lives. I mean, fuck me, in the Champions League we went to Red Star and honestly, like, I've never been in a more hostile football environment in my entire life, been the away end, and that it was horrendous. It was brilliant as a result of it, but you know, these are guys for whom they tell the kids and the great grandkids and the great grandkids that they played the mighty Liverpool in a game, and every Europa League game is like that. But you've got to learn to be harder than them and then be more skillful on top.
Sorry, just one more thing. Talking about away days, I can't wait till next year where I actually show up at, you know, Nottingham Forest's ground and Liverpool might actually win there.
Wouldn't it be nice?
This season, so please let it be.
You need to get back into the transfers then, because Liverpool need to buy players.
That's true.
They're strikers, all right, get him.
Just wait to own a cup of tea in someone's back room in Luton, you'll be laughing then.
Joshua with the Super Chats says, final in Dublin as well, that'd be a great night. And Fran Darling says, lads, you can have my gaff for the week in Dublin, but you have to look after my daughter. Sounds fair. Babysitting duties for
I am impressed that you think so much of us. You are leaving your daughter with strange people.
Wait there.
Like strangers. Not strange people.
Both apply.
Strangers.
Both apply.
Are we going to be drinking cider with these Bristol strangers?
I'm a farmer from Somerset.
Any chance she's like 6 months from me and take her into a football stadium and then moan about it?
Yeah, why not? Right, cool. We're going to leave it there. That is the Originals podcast. We were doing podcasts over the summer, so don't worry, we're not going too far. Absolutely. We're going to be continuing. There's going to be daily updates on the YouTube channel and on podcasts as well. So obviously, if you want to get your Liverpool fix, you can do. And as mentioned previously, Bobby Firmino, Best in the World, the documentary series, 3 parts coming this June. Part 1. June 23rd. Get your calendars marked. If you want early access and exclusive access to episodes 2 and 3, head to redmenplus.com. You're going to get the full interviews. A couple that we've already unveiled is obviously Jordan Henderson and Adam Lallana, so you're going to get those full interviews as well over on there. If you scan the QR code, if you're on YouTube, or if you just go to redmenplus.com, choose a Club Captain yearly subscription, use the code YEAR, YEAR, you get it for 50% off for an entire year of Redmen goodness. That is an incredible deal. It is not one that we're going to be keeping around for long because it is an incredible deal. So do take advantage of that while you can. Capitalise on all the summer optimism and transfers, and again, having those digital cuddles of us throughout this period. It should be very good. Absolutely.
Cannot wait.
But yeah, that's it from us for now. And we will see you all very soon.
Thanks for listening. If you want even more Bosch content and podcasts just like this, go over to redmenplus.com and sign up now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.